It's Freddie Prinze Jr. and Jeff Dye back in the ring. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. Hey, Jeff. Are you ready to rumble our way into an all-new season of Wrestling with Freddy?
You better believe I have. I've been practicing my body slams, and I'm jacked.
All right, don't go injuring yourself now. We'll be highlighting the best stories and matches of the week in wrestling from AEW, WWE, and have one-on-one talks with the best talents in the world of pro wrestling.
Listen to Wrestling with Freddy on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
MTV's official Challenge podcast is back for another season.
And so are we.
I'm Tori Deal.
And I'm Anissa Ferreira.
The wait is over, guys. All Stars 4 is finally here.
And this season takes it to a whole new level. Old school legends, modern power players, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
And we're going to be right here along with you fans, covering every episode on the podcast.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You are listening to the Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio.
It is hour one on this Tuesday. Dan and the Danettes, Dan Patrick Show. Buccaneers come back to beat the Saints. The Buccaneers now 6-6 and headed towards winning that division. Controlling that division. I don't know what that means. A division that's out of control, but they're controlling that right now. And they left time on the clock for Tom Brady, trailing by 13 in the final 3 minutes of the game. This is one of those things where if you turn the game off, you're not alone. But how does Tom Brady get down 13 points at home? That, to me, is not alarming, but certainly something to take note of. They didn't do anything in the first three quarters. And then all of a sudden, Tom Brady was Tom Brady. But you start to look at a bigger picture here with Tampa. All right, they're going to win their division. They're going to host a playoff game. They are 27th in scoring offense. They're dead last in rushing yards per game. Bottom half of the league in red zone scoring percentage. You did pick up a win. You beat a 4-9 Saints team. But I don't know how much hope that provides for the Tampa Bay fans looking at a bigger picture here with Tom Brady. And with Brady, of course, he can make a run. Anything's possible. We've seen that with him. But I thought what was alarming is what they didn't do in the first 3.5 quarters, not what they did in the final couple of minutes there. Also, Tampa's had more touchdowns in 3 minutes than the Broncos have had in their last 171 minutes.
That's what you got to do 2 minutes in.
Woo! Ow! Stat of the day! Stat of the day! Stat of the day! Stat of the day! This is the stat of the day!
Say good morning to those watching on Peacock. That's our streaming partner and listening to our radio affiliates around the country, iHeartRadio, Fox Sports Radio. Those chatting on Chat Row, operator Tyler standing by to take your phone calls, play of the day, poll questions, stat of the day. Stat of the day brought to you by Panini America, the official trading cards of the Dan Patrick Show. Make sure you sign up for the DP Show newsletter, available daily at 6 Eastern, 3 Pacific. Recaps everything going on in the show, gives you a heads up, a sneak preview of things as well. Go to danpatrick.com. You put in your email address in the box that slides out, bottom right corner, and we will send you a recap of the show every single day. This program brought to you by Discover. Redeem your rewards for cash in any amount at any time. And that's amazing. Learn more at discover.com/redeem rewards. Terms do apply. Here's the Saints head coach, Dennis Allen, on facing Tom Brady.
When you play Tom Brady and you have a chance to put him away, you have to be able to put him away. And I felt like we missed some opportunities to put him away.
Yes, you did. You had your opportunity. Mark Ingram stays inbounds, gets the first down. Then the clock keeps ticking. All of a sudden, you're taking time off the clock for Tom Brady to try to mount that comeback, scoring a couple of touchdowns. Mark Ingram was a little banged up, went out of bounds instead of going for the first down, instead of staying in bounds and letting the clock run. And that provided the window of opportunity for Tom Brady and the Buccaneers to pick up the win. Heisman finalist, that has been set. And one of the finalists, Max Duggan from TCU, will join us coming up next hour. Caleb Williams, C.J. Stroud, Stetson Bennett Jr. III. And, you know, no Hendon Hooker, out of sight, out of mind. He was a great story there for Tennessee, but then got hurt and didn't get the call to go to New York. But we'll talk to Max Duggan, TCU quarterback, a little bit later on. And he was Ralphie in Christmas Story. Peter Billingsley, the actor-producer, a Christmas Story Christmas, and a friend of the show. He's going to join us. I had a conversation with him a while ago, and it's up on danpatrick.com, that scene. And I did talk to Peter Billingsley, who didn't, prior to this sequel coming out, talk or want to talk about being Ralphie in A Christmas Story. But, you know, he's trying to graduate into other things. He's a producer. He's a writer. He works with Vince Vaughn. They have a production company. But Ralphie didn't want to revisit Ralphie. But he did, and we had a great conversation. I've known him for a long time. And there's a sequel that's out now to Christmas Story. And Peter will join us a little bit later on. The Phillies got Trey Turner. And they spent $300 million on him and 11 years. That's a big deal. Big deal. Wow. You know, the money is not what's as important to me. I always look at the years because what's Aaron Judge going to get? If Trey Turner got 11 years at $300 million, I like how, you know, the Yankees, you know, they were trying to get a bargain with Aaron Judge, and they were like, all right, well, let's see, go out there and bet on yourself. Now, all of a sudden, they got to overpay, and they're gonna really overpay. Either them or the Giants are going to overpay. It seems like those are the only two teams that are involved. The Mets get Justin Verlander. I was curious about the timing of this, because Jacob deGrom is looking for a five-year deal. And all of a sudden, he goes to Texas. Next thing you know, Justin Verlander's a New York Met. But I'd like to know the timing of that. That did the Mets go, hey, if he wants this for this, check on Verlander? Or did Verlander's agent check on the Mets? Because I think the Yankees were also involved in this. But Verlander for 2 years for, what, 80-some million dollars, or a five-year deal for Jacob deGrom for $200 million, I'm going to take Justin Verlander. As great as deGrom is, I just can't count on him. Verlander's at least, he makes starts. I mean, he had 28 starts this year. Granted, he's 39 years of age, but, man, I probably wouldn't want either one of those pitchers, you know, but that's fiscal sanity that kind of seeps in. Yeah, Paulie.
Do you think the Mets owner is thinking more short term? Verlander for 2 years, I could pick up one title. That's all I need out of him. It's worth, then I'm a legend forever. Verlander in 18 and 19 led the league in starts with 34 starts. He was 36 and 37 years old.
Yeah.
In 2 months, he'll be 40.
Yeah.
He led the league in ERA. He led the league in wins.
Yep.
He was he's not like good for his age. He's great for any age.
Yeah, I think that they were looking at maybe a Max Scherzer type deal where you get that 3-year deal for $100 million, but ends up being 2 years for the Mets. Yes, Seton O'Connor.
And if you whiff on a like 2 or 3 year deal, it's not that big of a deal.
No.
Right? It's not that huge of a miss rather than
5 year.
Crap, we're stuck with this dude for another 7 years.
Yeah, but you might get that with Trey Turner.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a lot of money. Great player, a lot of money, but a guy who depends on his legs, speed. Yeah, Paulie.
You're sleeping on the bigger story. Kate Upton back in New York City. Mm-hmm. That's a bonus for everybody.
Mm-hmm. I saw her on the street one time and walking. You know, she was just walking around where she lived, kind of midtown. And I remember seeing her one time on the street. And now she's been on the show, but I was with my daughter. And I think we were going to work out at SoulCycle. And then she's like,
you and Kate Upton?
No, my daughter.
Oh, okay.
No. But I remember seeing Kate Upton on the street, and my daughter goes, you know her? And I go, I'm not going to say anything to her. And so I didn't. I thought, I mean, it's not a great story. I'm just saying that I did see her on the street one time in New York. They never look the same way you think they do when you see people on the street. You know, I always get, oh, you're a lot taller than I thought. Oh, for your age, you look okay.
Oh.
You know, those kind of things there. But, yeah, Kate Upton was Kate Upton before she met Justin Verlander. But good to have her back close by. All right, Seton, what do you have for me?
Well, Dan, we could start with the Heisman Trophy. We could start with, here's one actually that goes with a bunch of our guests today. Would you rather win a Heisman Trophy or a Best Supporting Actor?
Supporting.
I'd rather win the Heisman.
What?
Yes. Yeah. As a supporting actor, I know what that limelight is like, but not having been nominated, but
you haven't been
yet.
Not yet. If Sandler ever gives me a bigger role, then that would help. Yes, Marv.
And winning Best Supporting Actor or Actress doesn't guarantee you any success. I'm sure you could look down the list of supporting actors and actresses who've won.
Yeah.
And they've just had, you know, okay careers.
Yeah.
I remember reading an interview with Elizabeth Shue, I think it was.
Yeah.
And she won an Oscar for Leaving Las Vegas. She was like, I thought my career was set. I'd be getting movie roles, all this stuff. She's like, nobody called.
Yeah.
How's that happen?
Yeah, Paulie.
There's good and bad for Best Supporting Actor. Like, Timothy Hutton won. He had a good career. Louis Gossett Jr., you know, he won for Officer and Gentleman. Good career. Michael Caine, great career.
Michael Caine.
Sean Connery got Best Supporting Actor for Untouchables. Obviously, he crushed.
Mm.
Denzel Washington for Glory. So he went way higher after that.
Mm-hmm.
Joe Pesci for Goodfellas. Gene Hackman for Unforgiven. Little Bill, ooh, great role. Tommy Lee Jones in The Fugitive.
Mm-hmm.
Kevin Spacey, Usual Suspects. Cuba Gooding Jr., mm-hmm. Jerry Maguire. That helped his career a lot.
Yeah. Well, he didn't really do much after that. Didn't he, like, Snow Dogs or something like that?
Snow Dogs 2.
Yeah.
Benicio Del Toro for Traffic.
Okay.
We should compare each of these to Heisman winners.
But so would you rather be the Heisman Trophy winner or be the Best Supporting Actor this year?
Heisman.
Yeah. It's Heisman.
Heisman's pretty cool. Yeah.
There's no Oscar house presented by Nissan.
There's there.
There. Where Baker Mayfield's running around in there.
Yeah, how many Dr. Pepper commercials are they doing?
Yeah, yeah. Brian Bosworth is your sheriff there in Fansville or whatever it is. Yes, Todd.
I think most supporting actors would probably take the Heisman over their Oscar.
Thank you, Todd.
You're welcome.
Right. How about the best actor?
Ooh, that's something
else. How about best actor or Heisman?
I think supporting is actually the better one.
Yeah.
You think?
It's a tougher question.
Yeah.
Would everybody take best actor?
Yes.
Over the Heisman?
Yeah.
Well, I don't understand the difference between best actor and best supporting actor. Half of the time, the best supporting actor is the main person in the movie. They just
true.
Put them in that character.
But they put it in that category so they can win the award.
Right.
Like, wait, you're the star of the movie, but you're the best supporting? Yeah. Yeah, that's how it works. Yes, Tom?
I always go by how I'd want my bio to read or if I was invited to some gala or speaking engagement and I was introduced. And that's how it sounds to me. What sounds cooler? Academy Award winner, best actor, or Heisman Trophy winner? And to me, the Academy Award would ring true. More for the lead actor, not supporting.
I don't know if we forget who won the Heisman. I think we forget who wins best actor.
Here's a comparison. Would you rather be Eric Crouch from Nebraska or Adrian Brody from The Pianist? Or Pianist.
Pianist.
I want to be careful with that one.
Yes. I would rather be Adrian Brody.
See, he's been in other movies.
Yes, he has.
Eric Crouch's career, by choice.
Yes.
Stop there.
Yeah. Any other comparisons there? Nobody else is doing Adrian Brody and...
Forrest Whitaker, Rahsaan Salaam. Yeah. No one's doing that.
Love him.
All day.
I'm going to be Forrest Whitaker. Yeah. Yes, Marv.
Best actor in the Heisman seem to be career achievement awards. Maybe not so much anymore, but it used to be. It used to feel that way. Like Herschel Walker probably should have two Heisman trophies if you're going by that.
Yeah.
You know, Al Pacino won for Son of a Woman.
Yes. Yes, Paulie.
Right. Herschel kind of got penalized by not having two. That's kind of like Leonardo DiCaprio. I think he was 0 for 5 when he finally got his award. Herschel should have had two. Leo should probably had two.
Well, he should have won for something other than what he won for. The Revenant was like, all right, whatever.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Career achievement.
Yeah.
Scent of a Woman.
Hoo-ha. Yes, Don.
Look, but don't touch. Touch, no, no, but don't taste. No. Every inch is a foot. 3 feet is a yard. We need 100 yards.
Here we go.
Who's with me?
Here
on any
go.
Sunday,
here,
we can do this.
Here we go.
Hoo-ah.
He,
Jamie Foxx or Johnny Manziel? Jamie Foxx. He's a lot of good movies.
I don't know.
What? He's living a fantastic life.
Yeah, he is.
Especially when you're compared to Johnny Manziel. No offense.
I should have thrown someone better out there.
Johnny was leading an incredible life. And then he didn't realize that he wasn't leading an incredible life until everybody went, dude, what's wrong with you? What's your career arc here? Okay.
We're thinking about these.
Oh, things. Okay.
We're just diving.
It's not good radio if we're thinking about
I'm thinking about like, if you add in, you could be a non-quarterback Heisman winner. Because those seem to be in pretty rare. That's rarified air these days.
Yeah,
you could win the Heisman without being a quarterback.
Well, do you want to be Devontae Smith?
So far, yeah, that's not bad.
Nah.
Considering how Heisman winners usually pan out in the NFL, that dude is killing it.
Yeah, but you're still the quarterback. You know, Devontae Smith, you know, we're going to forget about him. People probably have already forgotten about him. Like, oh, that's right, that dude won the Heisman.
Who's that guy from Alabama that won the
Waddle.
Eagles?
No. Was it Waddle? No.
No, the other,
no,
the really
no,
fast one.
Yeah,
the really
no,
fast
no, that would have been
receiver.
Waddle. Yeah, yeah. If Waddle doesn't get hurt, Devontae Smith doesn't win the Heisman. Yes, Paul.
Our last one.
Okay.
Will Smith or Baker Mayfield?
Oh, come on.
Will Smith's
is
career
good.
Is in somewhat,
you know what?
Shambles.
I might slap you for Will
whoa,
Smith.
Whoa,
okay,
whoa,
Will Smith or Reggie Bush? Both had problems with their... Will Smith had a problem on the night he got the award. Reggie Bush had his award taken away, literally and figuratively. Will Smith or Reggie Bush?
Let me take a break.
You need some time.
Yeah,
I understand.
Going to need to take... Because there's Kim Kardashian's involved in this.
Right.
The Wendy's commercial. Slapping Chris Rock. You know, he's got a movie now coming out. Will Smith does. All right, let me take a break. Wow. Didn't know that we'd start out like this.
Let's go.
Wait, you're applauding? I didn't think this was a good thing.
We crushed that first segment.
Marvin, were you applauding? I couldn't hear.
Oh, come on.
What? What?
Callback.
Not necessary.
Not nice. Accurate, but not nice.
Okay.
I was clapping.
All right. Let's take a break here. We'll come back. We'll settle on a poll question. Back in, there's Marvin. Here, you can just about hear it.
And I'm clapping hard, too.
Take a break back after this. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 to noon Eastern or 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Dan Patrick Show at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR. Or stream us live on the Peacock app.
Attention all wrestling aficionados. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. This is Freddie Prinze Jr., and I am beyond thrilled to announce that our wrestling extravaganza is back, and joining me once again is the one and only Jeff Dye.
Get ready as we highlight the most jaw-dropping matches, dissect the fiercest feuds, and uncover the latest twists and turns in the world of pro wrestling.
We're dusting off our legendary side quests and unleashing a barrage of brand new segments that will keep you guys on the edge of your seat, like our talks on Unsanctioned Thursdays.
Freddy, you know we got to give the people what they want. This season, we have an all-star lineup of special guests who are going to be gracing our podcast, bringing with them their own unique insights, experiences, and all of that in the world of pro wrestling and beyond.
Whether you're a seasoned wrestling veteran or a fresh-faced newcomer, we promise an experience like no other. So buckle up, wrestling fans. Listen to Wrestling with Freddie as part of the My Cultura podcast network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty: Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals.
Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith. When I'm not at my day job, First Take, you can find me in my studio hosting the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, at the very least, as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and politics. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions on those nauseating Cowboy fans, the chaos in Washington, D.C., and trending topics on social media, as well as my straight shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers. And I occasionally give out love advice. Yes, it's true. If you want to know my true feelings about something, I'll give it to you straight. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcast.
Let's bring in Max Duggan, the TCU quarterback. Who do you think should win the Heisman?
You know, whoever they vote for.
Well, who would you vote for?
You know, they're all – you want the politically correct answer?
No, no. Do you think you're the best candidate?
You know, I don't know. I don't really think about it too much. I don't know. I came from my dad trying to be a humble guy. They're all great players. You know, if I would be able to get voted and win it, you know, it'd be a tremendous award. But, you know, they're all really, really good players.
Well, I think just getting there is pretty amazing. If you look back in the spring where you weren't even going to be the starting quarterback.
Yeah, I wasn't. Yeah.
And what was your reaction to that?
Yeah, you know, it was disappointing in my eyes. You know, that you didn't win the job. I was disappointed in myself. But, you know, I wanted to help the team. I wanted to be here at TCU when we were winning, help this team, you know, get back to, you know, being talked about on a national level.
What hurts today after that game?
You know, obviously body wise, there's a lot, but you know, within, you know, there's a lot of emotion. You know, you go an undefeated season, you know, you want to win a conference championship, a league championship, and you lose that game so close, you know, a last second field goal. There's a lot of emotion, but you know, we get an opportunity to go compete for a national championship. So
you were out of breath after you ran the touchdown. You can't call timeout. You still got the 2-point conversion. How gassed were you?
Yeah, I was pretty tired. You know, I had a couple long runs on that drive, but, you know, just trying to do whatever we could to try to make a play, try to give us a shot to, you know, maybe to get a 2-point conversion sent into overtime. But, yeah, I was pretty winded after that drive.
Okay, explain to me what happened then in overtime that you didn't get the ball those last two plays. Could you have changed the plays if you wanted to at the line of scrimmage?
Yeah, so we went in with two plays that we felt – you know, pretty good about, you know, plays that have been successful for us. Obviously, we're giving it to Kendrick, our running back that, you know, has been successful a lot this year, especially down on the 1-yard line, you know, run a run scheme to, you know, where our guys, you know, we're confident in. And, you know, Kansas State made two good plays. You know, they stopped us at the one both times. Doesn't happen a lot, but, you know, credit to them.
What do you know about Michigan?
Yeah, you know that they're a phenomenal team, great team, well coached. They got, you know, dudes all over their field, whether it's on offense, defense. You know, they run the ball well, throw the ball well. You're not going to get a lot of shots, not a lot of opportunities. Defensively, you know, they play their game. They're big, they're athletic. They're going to make things difficult on us. They trust their guys on the back end, so it's going to be fun.
How'd you get invited to the Mavs game last night?
Yeah, so it was a family member of mine. Yeah, so I went with them.
And OBJ was there last night?
Yeah, he was sitting courtside.
You didn't get courtside?
No, I didn't get courtside. I'm not on that level.
If you win the Heisman, you're going to get courtside there.
Yeah, maybe.
Did you talk to OBJ?
No, I wasn't able to see him. I just they put him up on the Jumbotron and all that. I think he was sitting by Micah and Diggs, I think.
Did you meet Luca?
I did not. No, I was not given any treatment.
What the heck is going on here, Max?
I was just with a family member, you know, inviting me to the game.
You know what? If you wore your jersey, if you wore your uniform, that might have helped you maybe get a little preferential treatment.
Maybe.
Who do you model your game after?
you know, I don't know if there's a single person that I really model my game after. You know, I grew up a Green Bay fan. So, you know, you watch Favre and Aaron Rodgers and try to be that kind of gunslinger, you know, different arm angles, footwork, trying to make that play. Other guys in the league, you watch, you know, like Joe Burrow, what he does with, you know, pocket mobility and, movements inside the pocket of being quick, try to, you know, go off of that. You take, you know, Kyler and Russell in the run game of, you know, making plays with their feet and being dynamic. So there's a lot of things you kind of, you know, pick and choose that you want to take from guys to try to put into your own game.
You know, you go back to that COVID test that you took. If you don't take that COVID test, what do you think happens?
Yeah, I don't really know what happens. Yeah, I think I'll probably go on the rest of my life a couple of years, and, you know, there's probably bigger implications that happen to me when I'm, you know, kind of older and, you know, out of athletics, you know, not as in shape, things of that sort, you know, getting up there. And, you know, I really don't know what happened. I don't really kind of want to imagine it. So,
well, yeah, I mean, you had a 9-hour heart surgery procedure because you test positive for COVID, but then what did they tell you after you tested positive?
Yeah. So I tested positive for COVID, and then, you know, in college athletics, they did, put through all these heart screenings. Because they're worried about the myocarditis, I think was what was going on in COVID. Yeah. So they had you do EKG, you know, ultrasound on your heart, all these tests. And then when they did the EKG, they found, you know, a little, you know, Wolf Parkinson White syndrome is what I have. It shows up on EKG pretty easily. So they kind of saw it, maybe go through a couple other tests, and then had to kind of sit me down and tell them what was going on.
Did you know if you could play football?
Yeah, initially I didn't really, I thought, you know, when they say you have a heart issue, you know, and it's pretty serious. You're going to have surgery. Thought, you know, football was probably over. So,
well, got a big game coming up against Michigan. And do you have the outfit picked out for the Heisman Trophy ceremony?
Yep, I got one picked out. So there's a, you know, a little shop down here in Fort Worth that, you know, got me right.
Okay, what are we going with, though? Because we're going to be seeing this for years and years and years to come. So,
yeah, no, it'll be a good little tribute to TCU. It'll look good on Saturday, so yeah, you'll be able to see it.
Okay, little purple in there.
Yes, sir.
All right, are you getting your hair cut before the Heisman ceremony?
Yeah, I need to. Yeah, it's kind of my mom's starting to get on me about it, so I think I'm about to cut it.
I don't think you mess with the street like you're on here. I think you'd say to you want me to talk to mom and just tell her, hey, come on, Samson didn't cut his hair.
Yeah. My mom's starting to call me and, you know, give me some angry phone calls about my hair when she sees pictures.
Well, congrats on the great season there, and good luck against Michigan and the Heisman ceremony.
Yeah, appreciate it. Thanks for having me on.
Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR, or stream us live on the Peacock app.
This is Steve Covino.
And Rich Davis.
And together, we are Covino and Rich.
Covino and Rich.
Thanks, buddy. That's right, Covino and Rich, Fox Sports Radio's newest hit show. Heard weekdays from 5 to 7 Eastern, 2 to 4 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Every Covino and Rich show is available as a podcast. Just search Covino and Rich wherever you get your podcasts and subscribe.
I'm such a rocking dude.
The show features our unique take on sports, injected with some fun, humor, and relatability.
Listen to Covino and Rich 5 days a week on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Covino and Rich, give me a hell yeah!
Attention all wrestling aficionados. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. This is Freddie Prinze Jr., and I am beyond thrilled to announce that our wrestling extravaganza is back, and joining me once again is the one and only Jeff Dye.
Get ready as we highlight the most jaw-dropping matches, dissect the fiercest feuds, and uncover the latest twists and turns in the world of pro wrestling.
We're dusting off our legendary side quests and unleashing a barrage of brand new segments that will keep you guys on the edge of your seat, like our talks on Unsanctioned Thursdays.
Freddie, you know we gotta give the people what they want. This season, we have an all-star lineup of special guests who are gonna be gracing our podcast, bringing with them their own unique insights, experiences, and all of that in the world of pro wrestling and beyond.
Whether you're a seasoned wrestling veteran or a fresh-faced newcomer, we promise an experience like no other. So buckle up, wrestling fans. Listen to Wrestling with Freddie as part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty: Sports Scandals.
Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith. When I'm not at my day job, First Take, you can find me in my studio hosting the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, at the very least, as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and politics. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions on those nauseating Cowboy fans, the chaos in Washington, D.C., and trending topics on social media, as well as my straight shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers. And I occasionally give out love advice. Yes, it's true. If you want to know my true feelings about something, I'll give it to you straight. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcast.
Peter Billingsley, actor, filmmaker, producer. You can bail if you want to, Peter, but it's great to have you back. A Christmas Story, Christmas, currently streaming on HBO Max. And Peter is a producer, co-writer, actor in the movie, and the top movie on the platform since premiering on November 17th. You're in two of the biggest Christmas movies of all time. Two of the most famous ones, Christmas Story and then Elf.
Yeah.
What questions do you get asked more about, Christmas Story or Elf?
Definitely Christmas Story. The interesting thing on Elf, Favreau asked me to come in and do a little part in it, and I didn't take credit. I just said, let me not take credit in the role. And so it's been fun to see people realize that I'm in Elf and they make this connection. And then they're like, well, why didn't you take credit? And I said, well, it's kind of more fun to see your face like this now when you realize it.
What question do you get about Christmas Story?
Well, I'll tell you, for me, Dan, it's nice to be back with you because it actually, I think this is our third time. It doesn't really feel like the Christmas season for me personally until I get a chance to talk to you. You're like the Christmas Story whisperer for me.
Thank you.
You've pulled out a lot of good stories. I think probably most is, it's more a statement, which is like people wanting me to understand how much the Parker family means to them and is their family. It's just like, you don't understand. That's my dad. That's my brother. That's my family. That's my life. And this film has touched on such a deeply personal connection. It's been 39 years, Dan, since we made the movie.
But why do certain movies take on a life of their own long after, like a slow burn, Shawshank Redemption? I mean,
yeah, for sure. I mean, did okay, I think, was Oscar contender, but then it's just one of those movies when you turn it on. Shawshank, I have the same reaction. If it's late at night and I turn it on, I'm like, ah, damn, now I have to finish it. It's like, you can't turn it off.
But you're not in Shawshank, just to let everybody know. You're not. No, I'm not. Ralphie's in Shawshank.
Exactly.
But when you go back and take us back to when you first auditioned for Ralphie.
So I'll tell you a funny story about that, which Bob Clark, the director, told me about. So as a kid, at the time I think I was around 11 years old, you get all these auditions and it's kind of a circuit. And you'd have many of them a week. You go and you read and then maybe you get a call back. So I went to read for Bob Clark. You read your scenes and I heard nothing. About 3 months later, I went up to do a screen test in Canada where they do all this mixing and matching. And so I had to read for Flick and Schwartz and everybody else. And they do these chemistry reads.
Oh, wow.
And so all the kids learn their lines. And it's funny because they always say to you, now, don't worry if we tell you to leave early. It's not a bad thing. But we know that's not what you want. You want to survive to the end. And I got through to the end, got the part. Bob later told me and it's just how the schedule fell. I was the first kid he ever read. And he thought in that moment, oh my gosh, this is Ralphie. This is my guy. but I can't obviously hire the first guy that I read. So he went on a 3-month journey of reading and seeing kids, and it kind of led back to me.
You have to wait 3 months to find out that you were the right person.
Sometimes, yeah, it's just sort of the way it falls. And a lot of those auditions, you do them, then you figure, all right, well, that's gone. You know, you just sort of move on. But nobody knew Dan at that time. I mean, about how these things take a life. This movie, you know, it took 12 years to get made. Bob Clark, the director, had to throw his salary in to get it done. Nobody wanted to do this movie full of voiceover set in 1940. You know, it was not a sexy leap off the page script.
How do you act with your eyes as Ralphie? Because your eyes are so important in telling the story, where you don't have to say anything as much as it felt like you were telling a story without saying anything.
A lot of people have asked if, you know, or even said, oh, those glasses, what a great idea. What a great prop. Look, I cannot see you now. I was born with horrible vision. I was diagnosed because I was a front row student without the front row student brain. The teacher said, I don't think he can see.
Do you
I was
still have the glasses from a Christmas Story?
I do. I have some of those. Yeah. And I mean, these are even similar. So, but I think one of the things I love about Ralphie as a character, and one thing that we really pulled forward to the sequel, was that he's a dreamer, you know, and he lives in his head, and so much of, and I think that's relatable. We all are. We, whether we admit it or not, we fantasize about where our life could be, where we might want it. And by the same token, he's kind of a nightmare in the sense that he envisions things going horribly wrong. So he kind of lives in his head. So I think the expressiveness of the eyes comes out of the fact that he's in there, and all that voiceover, he's just constantly thinking.
How long have you been sitting on trying to make a sequel?
I've thought about it for a while, for sure. But it's been about 4 years that we've actively been developing it. And the kind of impetus was, it's, as I said, 39 is a little now or never. I think we're not getting any younger. So to get the band back together, we had to kind of do it now. And it started with Nick Shank, who's written a lot of movies for Clint Eastwood, is a friend. And we started kind of breaking the story, and Nick has such a great tone, and we wanted to start with that grittiness of the world and the tone.
But you're reconnecting with your childhood friends.
100%. Yeah. Ralphie's a father now. He's sort of an unsuccessful writer. So he's in a place where he's not really where he wants to be. And it kind of starts with the passing of the old man. And he's forced to go back home and try to put on a Christmas like he had growing up in the face of all that. So he reconnects. He moves through town. It takes place in 1973. So we had to grow sideburns, which was nice. And I'll tell you, Flick, played by Scott Schwartz, won that contest. He's got some real solid muttons.
But, you know, you try to do that. And I don't know if you try to distance yourself from Ralphie as you were growing up.
Not really. I mean, I've had the good fortune of being able to do a lot of other things and kind of have another career behind the scenes. A lot of people run from that. I think you and I have talked about this. You'll have kind of somebody that has a wildly iconic role, and they'll just say, oh, I don't ever talk about that. You know, we can talk about anything else, but not that. It's like, well, we kind of want to talk about that just for a moment, at least. But I didn't have that. Plus, as I said, all the approach of fans to me with this movie, it's pure joy, Dan. I mean, people, like, if you don't like receiving that, you're in the wrong business.
The original, you're in Indiana, but you shoot it in Ohio?
That's right. Yes, we shot in Cleveland and Canada both. We shot the exterior in Cleveland, and then the interiors were in the studio in Canada. This one, we shot in Bulgaria, which I know, like, why?
Well, of course you did.
Yeah. I mean, where else would
I mean,
go?
Christmas in Bulgaria. It's got a
Nothing
nice ring to it.
Nothing says the Midwest like Bulgaria. but actually, interestingly, looked like it when it is sort of the leaves are off the trees and the snow's on the ground. But it actually allowed us, we built 11 houses. So we built the Parker house, the Bumpus house next door, and then 11 houses on what's the old Cleveland Street in the movie. So it really feels like you're transformed back into the world. And that was sort of another reason of why do this movie. We had to have the resources to be able to do it right. I describe it is we had to play offense. We wanted it to be great, but you got to play defense. You got to protect, obviously, against something that's become borderline sacred now in the first movie. And so we had the right resources, also got to produce with Vince Vaughn, my good buddy, which was great. And we had just really a great team. And so the wait was worth it. And we're really, really happy with how the movie turned out.
He's Peter Billingsley, actor, filmmaker, producer, Christmas Story, Christmas, currently streaming on HBO Max. When did that lamp become in vogue that people had to have that? Were it's you involved like somebody, at all with that?
No, that was sort of Gene Shepard, who wrote all the source material and was a radio host for WOR, is where he started and did the narration in the movie. It was his brainchild. I mean, what a wildly creative concept. And what I love about it is it's like the old man doesn't care what it is. He just wants something. And he's going to make it a win. It didn't matter what was in that box. At first he goes, it's a statue. He could care less. And then it's like, oh no, it's a lamp, even better. And that thing, people started replicating them. And, you know, now they're everywhere. I see them. You drive around, you see them in people's front room window.
Even Fragile. I mean,
That's my favorite line in the movie.
He was such a brilliant comedian, yeah, playing the straight role, but Darren was so funny.
So funny, but also so dramatic, so intense. I mean, you look at that dad, right? That feels like a dad. He feels like he's an inch away from just snapping or breaking into violence. You know, it's cold. You can tell his work sucks, whatever he does. He's filling up antifreeze, changing bald tires. I mean, but with all that, you also never doubt the love in the home. You know what I mean? Like it's just there, that kind of loyalty and love. And so that's what I think makes it feel very real. I just, I'm starting a podcast. And so I'm breaking down Christmas movies. You've inspired me, Dan. I think all of our Christmas Story conversations have given me the confidence to make the leap. And we were breaking down Christmas Story as actually one of the movies.
How much ad-libbing took place in the original?
Very, very little. So little, in fact, that even the swearing that I did when I'm beating up Scott Farkas was scripted on note cards by Gene Shepard.
What do you mean note cards?
Like little note cards like this. Yeah. So he longhand wrote on the front and back, and I think it was three note cards, and I was given them a couple weeks before and said, commit these to memory.
Okay.
And I had to memorize them. And it was gibberish, but you know, when you're filming, you have multiple angles. So they wanted it to be consistent when we covered it. So, I mean, even it wasn't just like, yeah, just kind of mumble something and be angry and start screaming. It was, no, you need to say this. It was like a very precise script. They've been working on it for 12 years. So by the time we went, the level of preparation was unlike anything I had ever seen.
I know at that time, so you're 11 or 12 and you're getting into dangerous territory of now kids can make fun of you or you're at an awkward time.
Yeah.
I didn't know if school was tough. You're wearing the bunny outfit and you know, there's a lot of things that they either embrace you because you're a star or they make fun of you. What was school like for you?
Some people embrace you. A lot of them make fun of you. But I was a homeschool kid because you're traveling so much.
Oh, okay.
So I tried to, I unceremoniously got left back in the eighth grade, partly because of my grades, but mostly because I just wasn't there. So I took my GED when I was, I think, 15. And then was a high school graduate at that point. So it was really sort of a life of tutors and classroom and, you know, on-set school teachers. And then was doing homeschooling at home. I was traveling a ton.
Oh, so that probably helped cushion it a little bit. You still have the BB gun.
I do. Bob Clark, the director, gave me, I don't know, I might be the only original one that has a nice plaque on it. And the other prized possession is, and this is the only one that was ever made, is the original bunny suit. And those are in a climate controlled vault that I keep. They're actually valuable now. Nobody thought.
Yes.
We just, you always take a little something, you know, when they're wrapping out in the costume departments in disarray, you're like, oh, can I have this? Sure.
You hung out with Vince Vaughn in the Swingers era, didn't you?
Mm-hmm.
What was?
Yeah, I met Vince in 1989.
That feels so that's the real Vince Vaughn is who we see in Swingers.
So many great sides to Vince, but for sure, just that charming, funny, great loyal friend who loves to go out and have a great night. And there's also no one better to get you out of a funk if you're in one. Yeah. You know, he's just got a contagious energy, is fun and was great at not taking no for an answer.
You didn't take no for an answer because you got the sequel made, and it's great to talk to you again. Always great to reminisce there, and thanks for joining us.
Yeah, thanks, Dan. Always good to see you. Merry Christmas to you.
Yep, you too, Pete. That's Peter Billingsley.
Thanks, pal.
Actor, filmmaker, producer, A Christmas Story, Christmas, and also has a podcast, Cinematic Journey, on Spotify, which focuses on holiday films.
It's Freddie Prinze Jr. and Jeff Dye back in the ring. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. Hey, Jeff. Are you ready to rumble our way into an all-new season of Wrestling with Freddy?
You better believe I have. I've been practicing my body slams, and I'm jacked.
All right, don't go injuring yourself now. We'll be highlighting the best stories and matches of the week in wrestling from AEW, WWE, and have one-on-one talks with the best talents in the world of pro wrestling.
Listen to Wrestling with Freddy on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
MTV's official Challenge podcast is back for another season.
And so are we.
I'm Tori Deal.
And I'm Anissa Ferreira.
The wait is over, guys. All Stars 4 is finally here.
And this season takes it to a whole new level. Old school legends, modern power players, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
And we're going to be right here along with you fans, covering every episode on the podcast.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.